You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN 91.9 FM. I'm Katie Frankowitz. We're in the holiday doldrums. That's the weird stretch of time between Christmas and New Year's. News is certainly happening, but for both us and for our KMUN's news partners, this can be a really hard time to get a hold of people and to wrap up stories. So I've decided we're not fighting it this year. Last week, we had an abbreviated news broadcast. You heard local and regional news and the ship report like normal on Monday and Tuesday. And then we turned to special programs from our news partners for the news hours on Christmas Eve and Christmas. We're going to do the same thing this week. You heard local and regional news and the ship report yesterday, and there will be more of the same today. But tomorrow and on New Year's Day, expect to hear some special and educational and interesting programs from our larger news partners, and then we'll be back to business as usual on Monday, January 5th. Obviously, if news happens in that span of time, we're going to be doing our best to cover it. And one housekeeping announcement, KMUN, the station, will be closed on Thursday for the New Year's holiday. Okay, buckle up. It's time for the news. Under a California law taking effect in the new year, cities in California can't punish people or organizations for providing goods and services to homeless people. Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports.
Cities cannot have any ordinances that prohibit people or organizations from providing things like legal services, medical care, or food and water to homeless folks. Earlier this year, CalMatters reported Fremont made aiding and abetting a homeless encampment a misdemeanor, a change they later revoked. Local crackdowns on homelessness have increased across the country since a Supreme Court ruling about the city of Grants Pass in 2024. That ruling allowed municipalities to enforce public camping bans, even if there's no shelter capacity for homeless folks. Before the Supreme Court ruling, Grants Pass tried to regulate groups helping homeless people on public property. The ordinance was later vetoed by the mayor. California's new law takes effect January 1st. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
The Oregon Capitol Chronicle reports that federal immigration agents arrested about 1,100 people in Oregon this year, according to estimates by experts. It's a major surge from the only 113 arrests recorded in all of 2024. In August, the Trump administration said it would come after states like Oregon, where laws prevent local law enforcement from coordinating with federal immigration officials. Oregon now ranks among the top five states with the largest year-over-year increases in ICE arrests. The Oregon Capitol Chronicle analyzed data from Deportation Data Project, a database run by lawyers and academics. That database collects national ICE arrest data from public records requests over the last 2 years, as well as data from immigration advocates. U.S. Border Patrol Chief Michael Banks said on the social media platform X that federal agents arrested more than 500 people in Portland in October alone, and immigration experts assume his estimate is accurate. Detentions peaked in July, October, and November. The rise came after Trump in the spring raised the national daily ICE arrest quota from 1,000 to 3,000 per day. The Capitol Chronicle reports that Regional Director Kamala Wamsley, who is responsible for ICE operations in Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, also set an internal goal of 30 arrests per day for the region, double the daily goal the regional agency had in 2024. Roughly two-thirds of people detained were between the ages of 19 and 40. The youngest person detained was 4 years old. Portland Immigration Rights Coalition anticipates a looming eviction and hunger crisis for families who lost their breadwinners. ICE did not respond to the Capitol Chronicle's request for comment. Petitioners have gathered more than 250,000 signatures to send a transportation bill to Oregon voters. That's the latest news from the Republican-led effort to stop the bill and its proposed tax and fee increases. The initiative has already submitted more than enough signatures to qualify for the November 2026 ballot. The transportation bill seeks to fill financial gaps at state and local transportation agencies. Governor Tina Kotek signed it in November. Petitioners have been gathering signatures ever since. Senate Republican leader Bruce Starr spearheaded the initiative. He said in a statement, quote, "The will of Oregon voters will not be ignored." Lawmakers are poised to take up the bill in the upcoming short legislative session, which begins in February. Lane County's planned recycling and waste diversion project, Clean Lane, has hit another speed bump. A state board rejected the county's zoning appeal last week, siding with garbage haulers and neighbors. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White explains.
The Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals upheld a local ruling that found Clean Lane is incompatible with zoning in the proposed Goshen area location just south of Eugene. The decision could be appealed in the new year. In the meantime, the county is exploring moving the project to Short Mountain Landfill. County Commissioner David Lovell, who opposed the contingency measures when it was approved earlier this month, argued during that meeting Clean Lane is no longer viable because the company that hauls Springfield's trash has diverted the entire city's garbage to its own landfill.
There's been some red flags business-wise in this whole chain of events that I feel maybe we should have looked at a little harder.
Lane County Administrator Steve Mokrzyski said he believes the project will pencil out if the county collaborates with Springfield. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White reporting.
You're listening to news on KMUN. A new project called the Search for Killer Whales is attempting to harness the power of citizen science along the Oregon coast. KLCC's Brianna Bowman explains.
Organizers of the project are asking people who spend time along the coast to volunteer to track the timing and locations of southern resident killer whales. Gianna Haro is project manager for the Search for Killer Whales with the nonprofit Adventure Scientists.
If you're going for a walk, if you're going kayaking, if you're going surfing, sailing, you can already help us. All you need to do is do the training, download the app, and then whatever you see, choose where you are on the map and upload the data.
All volunteers need to do is to be able to scan the water for orcas for at least 30 minutes. Adventure Scientists hopes the data that volunteers collect will help researchers understand more about the orcas, especially their travel patterns along the Oregon coast. It's free to participate, and you can visit the Adventure Scientists website to sign up and complete a quick online training. I'm Brianna Bowman, reporting.
The westbound lane on Highway 6 in Tillamook County that sunk several feet during a landslide in mid-December is closed indefinitely. A period of heavy rains around December 18th triggered a landslide that knocked out both lanes of traffic around milepost 35. It was part of the same massive slide that requires more than $100,000 in annual maintenance and repair. A spokesperson for the Oregon Department of Transportation says it's too soon to provide a timeline for repairs on the current damage to the westbound lane. The spokesperson says the state is consulting with experts to study the technical issues associated with the ongoing slide and to develop repair plans. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Moving now to news out of Washington State, a state investigation into alleged violations of the American Disabilities Act by Pacific Transit found a multitude of issues. For the past year, Pacific Transit has been managed by Lewis County Transit after Pacific Transit's board of directors opted to contract out management of the agency. There have been major issues along with the shift in management, including route alterations, issues with the dial-a-ride service, and, according to the state, systematic changes that have resulted in delays, missed pickups, and inconsistent dispatch communication. One woman reported that her disabled father's access to dial-a-ride abruptly halted without warning. Pacific Transit reportedly told her the services were only for life essential travel, and her father would now require a caregiver to ride with him. Lewis County Transit Director Joe Clark, the acting director of Pacific Transit, says the agency never received the man's American Disabilities Act application, and that the service was only eligible for transportation within 3/4 of a mile from the standard bus route. The agency had deemed the man too weak and frail to use public transit by himself, concerns that had not been brought up before. In an investigation triggered by the daughter's complaints, the Washington State Department of Transportation found 15 violations by Pacific Transit. These included failure to prioritize disabled riders, restricting trips to certain community destinations, not providing dial-a-ride services on all days and hours that the service was available, not providing door-to-door assistance, failing to open doors to help passengers board safely, not keeping proper records, and not reliably picking up riders, among other issues. Pacific Transit must now implement immediate corrective actions. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. A state probe into actions by the citizen panel that oversees policy for the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife will stretch into 2026. The investigation came after agency director Kelly Suswind voiced concerns this summer about whether the commissioner's conduct complied with state laws. The Sportsmen's Alliance has argued that commissioners violated state requirements for open meetings and record disclosure and disregarded mandates to maximize hunting and fishing. The Alliance has asked for 4 commissioners to be removed. According to documents obtained by the Washington State Standard, Governor Bob Ferguson may have set an investigation into motion much earlier than previously understood. Ferguson has not publicly commented on the Alliance's petition. Originally, the investigator's final report was to be turned in by early October. Now the contract with the investigator has been extended with findings due by February 13th. The Standard reports that the investigation is only the latest flare-up for the commission. A report released last year included interviews with people who described the commission as dysfunctional. Shortly after he took office, Ferguson halted 2 commissioner nominations former Governor Jay Inslee had made. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. KMUN News is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN News Team. That includes news host and producer Skylar Butenshin, volunteer Sylvia Thorpe, and me, news director Katie Frankowitz. That's all from us today. You're listening to KMUN.